From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. My name is Senior Chief Rob Burroughs, retired United States Navy, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And the other programs under our Heritage Program are the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and our Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program. And so we are located right there in Anderson at 2110 North Street, across from New Tech High School, and that is our offices. And it is located in a beautiful building. It's the original Bank of America building that is downtown Anderson. It was built in 1959. It has the original vault and lots of character and history to it. And it was donated back to the museum by the Joe Gonzalez family, which is Josette Gonzalez and Bob Mather. And it is in honor of Joe Gonzalez, who is a World War II D-Day veteran. I should say was. He's no longer with us at this time. But it's the Joe P. Gonzalez World War II Memorial Building, offices of the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. And that's where we have our archives, and we have our repository, and we have our library where we store all the books that are donated and brought in. And this building is a precursor to the main facility that we are continuing to work on and continue to work to build with Shasta County and different organizations and businesses in our community. And I just want to let you know that things are moving forward with the museum property, working with Shasta County and the California Division of Drinking Water. We're working on solving some water issues between the state and the city of Anderson on supporting water for the museum program. And just letting you know how convoluted sometimes it becomes with trying to build a facility in unincorporated Shasta County. California, of course, has passed a new law, a new bill that states that they don't want to allow private public wells if they can help it. And that means if you own a private well and it's for public consumption, then they want to either control it or to shut it down or to have you use a municipality water system. Where we are located, we are in unincorporated Shasta County, and we are half a mile from the city of Anderson water services, and we are 3 miles from the Cottonwood Water District services. And so California has basically stated that you will try to hook up with the municipality water system somewhere, some way, before you're going to have the opportunity to utilize your own water well system. And so, once again, that puts the museum in a time factor issue because we've requested twice from the city of Anderson to utilize their water system, and twice we've been denied. So now the state of California has decided that they're going to step in, and they're going to make a decision as to whether or not we can utilize our own system or whether they're going to mandate the city of Anderson to allow the museum to use water. And so that brings up another whole set of can of worms and things like that as we move forward. So you can see people come into the building and ask me almost every single day, what's taking so long? Why is it taking so long to get this going? How come you guys haven't broke ground yet? Well, I tell them that the devil's in the details, but sometimes the devil's not just in the details. The devil's in the entire project. And it just seems that as simple as it would be for us to be able to break ground and start a park or to move forward with phase one so we can move into the museum building in phase two, we face all of these issues that go on, all these things that we have to take care of behind closed doors where people don't see it every day. But I just want to let you know, when we were in Iraq, we faced the enemy every day. We got shot at. We were blown up. We had IEDs. We had booby traps. We took RPGs, tracer rounds, you name it, and we survived. And it was tough. It was hard. And so as long as we can be successful in that type of an environment, then we come back and we deal with the bureaucracy of either the state or the county or a city, As long as we're not being shot at, it's just another day in the process of. But the biggest thing is that as we keep pressing forward, it's really difficult for other people in the community, including veterans, to not get discouraged. And even myself sometimes, it's very difficult to not get discouraged with all of the things that we have to face in order for us to keep moving forward with this project. And we have people come to us say, you know, there's always folks out there that are naysayers, and they say, well, it looks like you guys are just never going to do it. Well, I'm here to tell you that as long as I have one last breath in my body, and in my endeavor to honor our veterans and those in my family and those in your family and those across our nation who have sacrificed and have shown us what the purpose of liberty is and what the cost is to do that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue to do this. And one of the reasons I think it's so important for us to have this museum on our West Coast is all of our national history is on the East Coast. You have Washington, D.C., you have the fields, you have all the monuments, you have all of the national museums, all of the national historical sites, and everything are on the East Coast. And I believe that one of the reasons that we don't have enough patriotism on our West Coast is that we don't have enough memorials, we don't have enough museums, we don't have enough places where people can go and understand the sacrifice of our men and women, the sacrifices of what it took for us to take care of that. After World War II, all the factories disappeared, all the aircraft factories disappeared, all of your bases have gone away through the Clinton administration and other administrations. There's no longer any military facilities that are down around San Francisco, where it was the hub of the United States Navy and the submarine service at Mare Island all through the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. That's all disappeared and gone away. They've tried to erase our military history all across the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington. And that's one of the reasons I believe it is so important for us to continue to move forward, because we will become the largest military museum on the West Coast in the I-5 corridor as we move forward with this project. And we should be proud to continue to move forward and have something like that in our community. We have the Veterans Home that honors our living veterans in their last days so that they have an honored place to live. We have the Veterans Cemetery at Igo, which honors those who have served, a place of dignity on Arlington West, where these men and women can be buried and be honored for their services, for their sacrifice, and for their families. And the museum is critical because it completes the story. It helps us to remember why these men and women served. It helps us to remember why the sacrifice was necessary. It helps us to promote freedom and liberty and teach others how important it is for us to move forward for that freedom and for that liberty and for that sacrifice. And it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to see it on the television. But it's another thing to walk up and touch it and see it for real life and to see it in real life, whether it's a large item or a small item. Whether it's the reality of yet that really took place or the reality of, oh, I didn't know that. A place to experience part of our freedom, a place to experience part of that sacrifice, and a place for us to be able to teach our next generations, excuse me, about why it is so important for us to continue to tell others about our patriotism, about our freedom and our liberty. President Ronald Reagan had it right when he said, freedom is only one generation away. The generation today that we know, that knows freedom and liberty and a sacrifice, the next generation, our children, our grandchildren, our grandchildren's children, is not that far away. That's only 40 to 60 years away. And how important it is for us to continue to be able to make sure that we share these stories in our lives about our freedom and about our nation. It doesn't matter if you served in the United States military. If you're a patriot, which is someone who has love for country. If you love this country, if you love our Northern California area, it's imperative for you to tell your children and your grandchildren and your neighborhood kids about why it's so important to fly that flag in front of your house and what that flag represents as far as that freedom and that sacrifice and what it takes for us to be able to have what we have in our country today that we still call liberty and freedom and justice for all to the best of our ability. We'll be right back.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Like Arctic ice. I am an all.
morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And that song, that's kind of for our newer veterans, our younger veterans that we have out there. But that's a drive song. That's a motivator when they're out there getting ready to do what they have to do. We listened to some of that music when we were preparing to get ready to do convoys in Iraq, and it gets your blood stirring and gets your mind going. It gets you pumped up to go out and do a job that you know that might take your life in the process. And so the warrior song is about the warriors who step up right now in our day and age, who are out there in our stead, who are fighting, who are protecting us, who are in the Persian Gulf, who are in Africa, North Africa, who are in Syria, who are throughout the United States, throughout the world right now. And that includes our Navy and our Coast Guard who are out there on the open seas and in the rivers and the bays that are patrolling and keeping us safe from harm, from those that would have come to our nation and damage us and to take our freedoms and liberties away from us. And so we want to say thank you to those that are serving today, our men and our women who wear the uniform. Remember, it's less than 0.4% of our nation serves our entire country. 0.4. That's less than half a percent of our American population serves and protects our nation, our country right now, and what we believe in. And so to those young men and women, to those who continue to serve and steadfast in our place, we say thank you, and we want to make sure that we remember them. This morning, you're listening to KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio program, and we are brought to you not only by the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage, but also by Foster's Brush Hog Service. Foster's Brush and Tractor Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services, fire breaks, after storm cleanup, tractor services, tree removal, brush and grass removal. Keith Foster is Darren Anderson. He's got a great crew. His father is a Korean War veteran, a Navy Korean War veteran, and he helped sponsor this program in honor of his father's service to our country. His phone number is 440-9531. 440-9531. Foster's Brush Hog Service. Give Keith a call, and he'll give you a good deal. He'll come out and do a good job. He's thorough. He knows the law. He knows what needs to be done for fire compliance. He helps support the museum. He does brush work for the museum and helps with some of our weed eradication and brush eradication. There's still so much storm damage out there left over from the snow, and he's still working on a lot of that. We still have a lot of that taken care of. If you don't want to burn your brush, he has an eradicating machine that just chews all of that brush up and spits it back out as mulch. So you don't have to worry about burning on your property. He'll just chew it up and spit it out and use it for mulch right there on your property. And then you don't have to worry about burning if you don't have time or you're not able to do that. He can take care of that there. So a mulching opportunity is sometimes better than a burning opportunity because of how close your trees are or how close your neighbors are or next to a building. And so that's a great opportunity to get that taken care of also. This last week, we observed, if you did not know, the 23rd anniversary, or excuse me, the 75th anniversary of the Iwo Jima battle. There in Mount Suribachi, the raising of the flag, the first flag and the second flag. And if you think about that time frame in our nation, just the Battle of Iwo Jima and the loss of over 6,000 wounded or killed Marines and Navy Seabees and corpsmen and Navy personnel and Army Air Corps pilots that were lost during that time frame in about a 4 to 6 day period. And if you've never served or been to the South Pacific, if you're ever there, you understand and know that the days are 85 to 100 degrees and humidity is 100 to 110%. And the air is thick and it's heavy to breathe because of all the moisture. So if you step back and think about those Marines that hit that beachhead between the nerves and the gunfire and the sweat and the tears and the blood on the hot volcanic black beaches, with the heat radiating off the shoreline and the beachhead and the sweat from the sun beating down upon their uniforms and the gear that they were wearing, trying to keep hydrated and keeping enough water in their system while they're being attacked by the Japanese forces during that time frame moving forward. It was one of the most horrific battles in our nation's history during World War II. And the Marines were there and the Seabees were there and the corpsmen, the Navy corpsmen were there. And they fought on those beachheads to fight the Japanese. In the museum, we have a display And that display is of the raising of the second flag of Iwo Jima there on Mount Suribachi. And one of our people, one of our men who served in our community, United States Marine Corps with the 5th Corps, received the Purple Heart and the Silver Star for his actions there that day at the second raising of the flag on Mount Suribachi. His name was Lance Corporal Charles Lindbergh. And we have a dedication to his service to our nation in the pictures under that show where he was and what took place. And he is buried at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, another veteran in our community, a hero who served our nation faithfully and was wounded in action in honor of the liberty and freedom that we have to take down the injustice of the Japanese imperial government during that time frame and the soldiers. And we're getting ready to come up on a song we want to play. It's called We Remember, and it's about honoring our veterans.
Give me a
listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
With the new year, it's a great time to lose 10 pounds, paint the house, and finally clean out the garage.
Honey, why don't you start by getting the car serviced at Premier Oil Change? They're super fast and convenient. You get to wait in the car with free Wi-Fi and a free beverage. Plus, they have a rewards program where we can earn points that we can put towards free oil changes and services. You don't even have to make an appointment.
Wow, honey, that sounds a lot better than cleaning out the garage.
At Premier Oil Change, we strive for convenience. Our comprehensive 30-point certified service will ensure you with a peace of mind that your vehicle's in top operating condition. Add to that, free fluid top-ups. Now that is service, and we're quick. Easy in, easy out. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Visit us on Facebook or Instagram. Premier Oil is located in the Holiday Shopping Center in Palo Cedro or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you get a free car wash. Visit us today. Home with a friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we played that Pomp and Circumstance for one of our local heroes that is here in our community. Our guest for this next hour is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, and he was a submarine sailor, and he went through a LDO, which is a limited duty officer program, and became an officer in the United States Navy and had his own command. And he is part of the board of directors for the Northern California Veterans Museum. He served here as one of the command leaders for the Cuttlefish Organization, which is a submarine group. And he has been involved with the Korean War veterans and all of our different programs. He was one of the original leaders with Shasta County Veterans Affiliate Council. And a man in our community who has been involved since his first days in the United States Navy, taking care of our country, our nation, and our veterans after the fact during his retirement in our local area. And a mentor to me through my naval career. I met him when I was a third-class petty officer, and he mentored me through my years of service on my home front side. We went to the same church, and he would talk to me, and he would guide me, and he would give me instructions. And his advice to me and his guidance to me were some of the reasons that I've stayed 23 years in the Navy and also made senior chief. It was through some of his leadership and skills that he directed toward me, and some of his guidance and some of his chastisements. And you can't take the good without taking the bad and vice versa. But it takes a leader to be able to be willing to do that. And I believe that that's how he treated his men in the service, because that's how he treated me when he was out of the service. So good morning. Jim, thank you for all that you have done for our nation. Thank you for what you have done for our community. Thank you for how you have helped me in my life. And thank you as we move forward with the Northern California Veterans Museum with your guidance and your support with that program.
Well, yeah, Rob, thank you so much for the nice introduction. I remember that day you stepped on our porch as a third-class petty officer and started your career and has toured overseas that were very, very important to the United States and risk your life and the lives of others and made it back. So it's nice to be here this morning, and I just wanted to congratulate you on having this program and the job you're doing as a the curator of the Northern California Veterans Museum. Down, it's going to be in Anderson there on Ronda Road. We already have one building downtown. We're looking at getting another storage building through your leadership and guidance, and we appreciate it.
Well, I'll tell you what, it takes the leadership of those who come before us, who help teach us and let us know. And if you're in, it doesn't matter if you're in the military or if you're in the community, when you have someone that takes you underneath their wing and helps mentor you and give you advice, you know, you can either accept the advice and you can move forward, you can turn away the advice and move forward or backward, however it takes you. You would be known as, in the Navy side, you'd be known as a sea daddy, because your sea daddy is the one that takes you aside, whether it's a lead petty officer or whether it's a junior officer or a chief. And they give you direction. They say, look, this is the direction you need to go. This is how you need to advance in your career. And that's what you did for me. You helped give me guidance as to what I needed to do, because you had been there before. You had done it. And I appreciated the experience that you had, that you took the time to share with me. And I didn't even know all of your career capabilities. You were a senior naval officer, and I was a boot. And so, you know, who am I to not say thank you, sir, for the advice that you're giving to us. And it's so important in our community, is with our veterans that are here to have the opportunity. And while we're talking about it, I just want to let folks know that we lost a veteran this last week, a man that used to also come into the museum and was a mentor to me and also talked with me. And that was Larry Mowry. He was a Korean War veteran of the United States Army. We lost him this last week at 81 years old. And he will be dearly missed. He would come into the museum during the week while I was working. He would chat with me, and we'd talk about things in the community, and we'd talk about things that are going on with the museum. And the loss of him in our community is just like the loss of our other veterans in our community. It is a loss when we lose these men who have the knowledge and the capability and the mentorship. And I value every veteran that comes through the door who has that leadership skill that, that offers advice and this and that and the other thing, but also that camaraderie. I look up to those men, just like you, Jim, and John Baker, and our other veterans who come in who are part of our staff, and Tom Johnson. Those who have leadership skills in our community and they're part of the program and continue to move forward, I value that advice. I value that service, and I value that service to our nation. And that's what the museum is all about, is to make sure that we continue to allow people to know why that is so critical and important in our military.
Well, the answer to all of it is communications. If we can communicate with one another on any level, we are helping. As far as Larry Maurer went, Larry was absolutely community-minded. He worked desperately hard on a project in Anderson called the Walk of Honor. And if you get down there, it's off of East Center Street, and it's something to see with mannequins and plaques and so forth. But Larry, not only that, he was deeply involved in Kiwanis. And if you ask him to do something, he did it and did it in a first-rate manner. So we have other people like that in the community that work so hard to make our community and make it a wonderful place to live. But I'll tell you one thing you see in Anderson and Redding Cottonwood is the thoughts towards veterans. Anything you have towards veterans, the community seems to jump behind. Like our museum, we need a lot of help with it, and we do get pretty good connections. So, it was a wonderful career that I had, and started out as a kid. Right coming off the farm in western Pennsylvania, and went through Admiral Rickover's program, which was a thing in itself, and maybe we'll talk a little later about it. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome. We're coming up on a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about your services, when you went in and why you went in, and a little bit about when your first portion of your naval career, and then we're going to talk about a book in our second hour about the Gilding of the Kukol. We'll be right back.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to reddingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to reddingcivic.com to learn more.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Redding community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
It's the guts and it's the glory.
100 stripes, 100 stories. It's the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July. It's some handwritten letters from home. It's some sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his line. Mr. Red, White,
good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Rob Burrows. I'm your guest this morning. It's KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And our guest this morning is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, retired, one of our local heroes here in our community. I call him a hero because I think that he is a hero, a part of my life, and I appreciate everything that you do, Jim. My father was a World War II veteran. He passed away in 2000. And Jim kind of stepped in, became kind of a surrogate father for me during those years when I was in the Navy and I needed that advice and a senior male to go to and talk to and bounce ideas off of and to have somebody encourage me, give me a little self-discipline here and there. And Jim Gibson was the man that helped to do that through my career, also through our church at that time. And Jim, it's always it's a privilege and honor to have you here this morning and talk on the radio and also to be a friend and a mentor to me.
Well, it's my honor also to be here and to be in a community such as Northern California. I belong to a submarine veterans group called Cuttlefish. We call it a base, which is really a group that meets in Anderson on the second Saturday of the morning, or in Chico, or sometimes in Red Bluff. But a group of fine submariners who... and there are many submariners in the area that should try to get a hold of us. We'll be glad to have you aboard. We need the young people coming in our group. And it's a privilege to be in this community and serve in this community. Other things, the AMVETS and the American Legion, they're all striving to make this a veterans community-minded area.
Well, if you're a submarine sailor that's out there and you'd like to become part of the Cuttlefish Base program, you can call Jim, and his phone number is 245-4492. That's 245-4492, and he can get you that information. If you'd like more information or you can't get a hold of Jim, you can contact me at the museum office, and that number is 378-2280. 378-2280, and we will get you in contact, get you that information. And Jim, we have multiple displays inside the museum.
Oh,
the Cuttlefish,
yes.
We've donated. You were a Navy diver. We want to talk a little bit about that, your diving service and what took place. And we have a beautiful Mark IV dive helmet, a replica that you have donated, and we have it under glass that's there at the museum that's on display, and that's part of your heritage and your history, and that represents other Navy divers and personnel that served in our country.
Well, we also have in that above it a large Mark 14 torpedo, which a lot of people can't believe how big it is and was inside of a submarine. This is a mock-up, not a real torpedo, but it certainly looks like one. And we have other things that are there. There's just ship models and everything. This is going to be one of the fine displays in Northern California, and we're awful proud of it, and we are proud of the community supporting us, giving us different things for the museum. And then we will be down on Ronda Road, there on the other side, south of Walmart and community church. We're up there on a hill, and we have a lot of plans for that, and we'll be start breaking ground soon.
I'm hoping this year. I mean, we are pressing hard to make sure that we break ground this year. We're trying to do everything within our power to make it happen. It's, you know, we're working with constantly working with issues that come from the city, the state, or the county, but we are doing everything we can within our power to be proactive to get this thing going.
Well, we need all the help we can get from the county and the city of Anderson and things that we need to move forward with. I want to come back and tell you that in talking about leadership and you're going in the Navy and so forth. The answer to all of this is communications. And when I started out as a young sailor right after World War II and worked with people that had been in World War II, several, and it was an education to carry it on through my career and through command of the Kukol.
And if, the Kukol, the ASR-8.
Yes, it's a submarine rescue ship that now is antiquated and out of the Navy file. But back then in 69, 70, why we practiced and we could rescue submariners down to 1,250 feet, which with the McCann rescue chamber. And going back again, in 1939, the USS Squalus went down off of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, in about 250 feet of water, and a ship just exactly like the one I commanded, the Falcon, went out, sent the McCann rescue chamber down, and rescued 33 men out of it. They also, with the heavy handling, they brought the submarine, the Squalus, up, and took her into Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, cleaned it up, of course, removed and memorialized the bodies from the 26 that didn't make it, and then it went back to sea as the USS Sailfish and made 9 war patrols out in the Southern Pacific. So that is a capability, and we trained. Every time we got a chance, we would train to use the McCann Rescue Chamber, to use the different equipment that we had and so forth. It was an interesting command. I would not brag about it, but when I got command, we had some morale problems and so forth, and we used leadership of talk to each other, help each other, and have a fun ship, and we did do that, and it came through quite successfully.
And one of the stories that I wanted to, that I read about is you're talking about training and everything that takes place during training. If you don't do your training on a regular basis, and you call for a particular drill, and then you get the men literally running into each other because they don't know where their battle station is, or they don't know where their position is that they need to go directly to, or they turn around and give you the deer in the headlights look as like, oh, crap, what am I supposed to do now? Because I don't know what the next position is in my status or my duty. Talk about your first man overboard drill.
I relieved this commanding officer of the Kukol in the shipyard in Pearl Harbor. And I want to say right now, the former skipper was an engineer, and they did a great job of repairing the Kukol, but leadership was -7. Anyway, we get underway for the first time, and we go out off of Pearl Harbor. And one of the main things that you train for right off is man overboard. If you have a man overboard, you want to get him back. Well, anyway, I told the executive officer to get a big can and throw it over the side and yell, man overboard, and we start training. So here it comes, and we hear, man overboard, starboard side. And the OD turned to me, Captain, which way would you like me to pick him up? And I exploded. I mean, anybody that knows me, I have a temper that sometimes gets out of control. And we've started from there. And that's where our training started to go up. We also had a week, 2 weeks in fleet training group, which trained us, and we worked hard there. We worked for everything to go to what they call the Western Pacific, and we went to in Yokosuka, Japan, and thereabouts, so that we have a rescue ship on out on the southern Western Pacific, and. We did. We went to Vietnam and did some work there, and just had a great career. About 4 years ago, I started putting this stuff down on paper and in the computer. And I met this wonderful fellow from Anderson, George Winship, and he said, well, why don't you write a book? So we started then, and George worked desperately hard with me, and we put it in compartmentalized chapters where you can read a little bit, put it down, take it back. But the book has been very well received. We did have to self-publish because of a mistake of using publishing before we asked another outfit to publish it for. So we self-published it. I have it for sale, and people are saying good things about it. It goes into when I was, believe it or not, I was adopted as a little boy, 1 year old, and from there on up through school, high school, going in the Navy, working for the famous Admiral Rickover, which is a thrill in itself. I would tell you one thing about it if we have time.
Well, we'll have time. We're going to come up on a break in just a minute, but go ahead and finish your thought process right there while we were talking, and then we'll catch that on the other side of our break.
Fine.
So we're going to go ahead and go to an early break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
Run silent, run deep. Captain Edward L. Beach. This tiger don't sleep. Run silent, run deep. Ned Beach was a leader, could mesmerize a reader, a humble man of courage, skill, and pride. He loved the silent service, profession with purpose. On December 102, this hero died. He launched a new sub-Nautilus, set standards for all of us, and took the mighty Triton round the world. Fought the Battle of Midway, Navy Cross from Tirante, made a dozen war patrols out of Pearl. Run silent, run deep. Captain Edward L. Beach.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. A New York City nursing home reports 55 COVID-19 deaths. One of the many senior care facilities across the country hard hit by the pandemic.
EMTs carry an elderly patient on oxygen from the Cobble Hill Health Center as first responders go in and out of the building. This is where 55 patients have died from the coronavirus, including Stephen Vince's uncle.
I wanted to find out, based on what was written on his death certificate, if there was a test performed.
He's wondering, like others, including officials, if there's undercounting going on. Meanwhile, nursing homes across the country make up some of the hardest hit communities in the nation. Though the federal government has not been releasing a count of its own, an Associated Press tally from media reports and state health departments indicate nearly 7,000 deaths have been linked to coronavirus outbreaks in nursing homes nationwide. Julie Walker, New York.
Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent says Communist Party officials in Beijing are already trying to avoid responsibility for their role in the COVID-19 pandemic.
They're trying to control the narrative, and what they're going to try and do here, they're already doing it. Not only going to deny that they're responsible for the virus, they're going to try and blame other people, but in particular the United States, and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it.
The former senator spoke to the Salem Radio Network, as did Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, expressing similar concerns this week. He says there's good reason to suspect the virus outbreak took place at a Chinese research laboratory.
We know that the first sightings of this occurred within miles of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We know that this, the history of the facility, first BSL-4 lab where there's high-end virus research being conducted, took place at that site.
And Pompeo tells the Salem Radio Network that China's Communist Party is still refusing to allow Western scientists any access to that facility. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We're about to hear a commercial for a very unique mortgage team that has a very specific advantage that could save your family monthly and lifelong money. Two things you should know. One, We were started by a dad and his son and his wife and his sister-in-law, and we've grown to be a faith-focused mortgage team that's helping families across the U.S. We're faith and family at our core, and we don't hide it. Two, we've still stayed fairly small, on purpose. We're only about a couple dozen people, a makeup that we believe lets us truly know every person that calls. But we also have a big advantage. Our company is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, a reality that often allows us to get you a better rate, which could save you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage at UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park, Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Texas says it will provide inmates with more protection against the coronavirus. U.S. District Judge Keith Ellison ordered the state to provide inmates access to soap, hand sanitizer, and masks at one prison following the death of an inmate who had tested positive for the coronavirus. A preliminary injunction called for the Texas Department of Criminal Justice to provide the items at the PAC unit, where 62-year-old Leonard Kirkley had been incarcerated. He died after testing positive for the virus. Over 327 Texas inmates have tested positive for the virus. John Scott reporting.
A small group of Christian clerics celebrated the Holy Fire ceremony at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. As the coronavirus pandemic prevented worshipers from taking part in the annual event, they entered the chamber built on the site where Christians traditionally believe Jesus was buried and rose from the dead after being crucified. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. China's government says exports fell further in March compared with February amid a global economic slowdown caused by the coronavirus.
The customs agency said exports fell 3.5% to $183 billion. Exports sank 17.2% in February in U.S. dollar terms as antivirus controls closed factories, shopping malls, and other businesses. The customs agency says trade will face further pressure due to weakness in the global economy.
His correspondent Jeremy House reporting. An Israeli hospital is offering the families of coronavirus patients the opportunity to say goodbye to dying loved ones. That's in contrast to many hospitals around the world. It's all happening at a Tel Aviv medical center that provides immediate next of kin with head-to-toe protective wear, allows them about 15 minutes to say goodbye, and then assist them in removing that gear to prevent ongoing infection. Four families so far have paid a visit to their relatives in the coronavirus ward. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Way, he had a boogie style and no one else could play. He was a top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a-blowing reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Ron Burroughs, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum. I'm your host this morning. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. And we have our guest this morning is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, United States Navy, retired. But before we step back in with our guest, I want to talk about the February 23rd, which is the 75th anniversary of the raising of the flag on the invasion of Iwo Jima and Mount Suribachi. And if you didn't know it, the memorial, the Marine Corps Memorial in Washington, D.C., was just completely rehabilitated for the 75th anniversary. I want to read you an article on that, because if you didn't know, it's good information to know about preserving our history and the preservation of our traditions, such as the Marine Corps and the Navy. The U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial in Arlington, Virginia, has been renovated just in time for the 75th anniversary of the famous flag raising above Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima. The Japanese island located in the Pacific Ocean between the U.S. territory of Guam and the Japanese mainland was the location of a five-week World War II battle during the spring of 1945. President Dwight D. Eisenhower dedicated the Marine Corps Memorial, which depicts 32-foot-high figures raising a 60-foot flagpole, on November 10, 1954. The memorial has been undergoing renovations since the fall of 2017, thanks to a $5.37 million donation from Carlyle Group founder and philanthropist David Rubenstein. Rubenstein is also the chairman of the Kennedy Center's Board of Trustees. He made the donation in honor of his father's service in the Marine Corps. The National Park Service supervised the memorial's renovation, which included making new engravings, cleaning and waxing the sculpture, brazing bronze seams, and regilding the letters and inscriptions along its base. The Park Service's webpage dedicated to the project shows a series of before and after photos showing the rehabilitation of the sculpture. Before the project, the statues were discolored, pitted, and now they are smooth and they show very little wear. In a statement from the Park Service website, Rubenstein noted the importance of maintaining the memorial as fewer and fewer World War II veterans remain able to tell their stories and applaud the renovation. The conservators and workers did a wonderful job returning the U.S. Marine Corps War Memorial to its original beauty. I am humbled to be a part of refurbishing the memorial and honoring those who gave the last full measure of devotion for America. It is so important from our memorials in Washington, D.C. to our memorials across our entire United States to remember and to honor those who served this nation. I can't say that enough. I can't tell you enough how important it is for us to continue to tell these stories, to share these life experiences. A story is a story, but a life experience is reality. And for us to make sure that we honor these men and women who served our country from all the different branches of service, from the inception of our nation at the Revolutionary War to today in Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq and the Persian Gulf and across the world. We cannot forget. We cannot tell the story enough. Every one of us has a duty and a responsibility to make sure that the next generation understands and knows that the liberty and the freedom that we enjoy right now in our streets and across our nation every single day is not just free. It's just not out there to be taken advantage of or to be forgotten or to be put aside, but that people have sacrificed to give us what we have. And it is so important for us to continue to tell that story. It's important for you as an American to tell that story to, even if your spouse doesn't know, you need to talk with it among your spouse, your husband or your wife, or your sons and your daughters, or your grandchild, that your boy or your girl, or the neighbor child who doesn't have anybody to mentor or tell them. We as Americans, if we do not continue to tell and share these stories, we will lose what we have. Our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, and their children will lose what we have today. And we must stay on top of it, and we must continue to let them know what it takes for us to have, for the freedoms and for the country we have. Remember that our United States military today is 0.4% of our total national population. 0.4. That's less than 0.5% of our people serve our country that control and honor and preserve our liberties and our freedoms. And so I'm going to remind you every program because it is so critical. And we talk to a small audience here, but every one of us can make a difference. Every man, every woman that tells a story and shares and continues to move forward with that helps to preserve what we have. Because if we don't have it and we don't preserve it, it all falls back on us for not caring enough to step forward and make a difference. Once again, our guest this morning, Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, United States Navy, retired. Jim, I'm so thankful that you're here in our community and you help support this program. You continue to tell a story to all of those around that you're with. And our military, our veterans who share that story in our communities, they're critical in the preservation of our freedom, whether it was when they served, whether it's many years ago or recently, but to continue to tell the story of why it's so important that we have what we have because of those who sacrificed. And you served and you saw men who sacrificed during your service. Good morning.
Well, thank you, Rob. Yeah, I was raised in a very, very patriotic, flag-waving, not only home but the community. My father served in World War One believe it or not, drove a six-mule team kitchen all over Italy and southern France. And as I grew up, and we would go to things on Memorial Day, put flags out like Preston Sharp in our own communities doing today, who's a fine, fine young man. And if you don't know who he is, find out, because Preston is putting flags on veterans' graves all over the United States, And it's a wonderful program, self-imposed by him and his wonderful mother, April. But anyway, going back to my dad, he had very strict rules. We lived by the rules, and yet they were wonderful. During the Depression, we didn't have a lot, but we worked hard. I had a big garden. My mother canned and so forth. As we're coming up through all this, I got to be quite a good baseball player. Not quite as good as I thought I was, but anyway, I had a chance through a fellow by the name of Hannes Wagner, a very famous Hall of Fame baseball player from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I had a chance to try out with the Pirates and the farm team, and it just came out that I had a major league curveball, but I couldn't break a pane of glass with my fastball, so I was really sort of at a loss. My dad was working in a dynamite plant in a little town there in western Pennsylvania, so he brought me on. That wasn't what I ever wanted to do, so I went in and talked to the recruiters. Things were happening right after World War II in 1948, and my dad gave me some wonderful advice. He said, "Jim, go in the Navy. If you eat, you'll eat hot food. If you sleep, you'll sleep in a bunk." He said, "And you won't be out sloshing around in the mud and being a grunt in the Army." So I did. And I got into a special program which taught me about diesel engines. From there, I went into submarines and...
Go ahead.
And went back went to the submarine school. From there, my first submarine in Panama. And all this is related in the book that we were talking about, Gilding the Kukol, which I had the pleasure of writing and now have the pleasure of getting it out in the community. You can get it, as Rob said before. My phone number is 245-4492. It's getting good reviews, and it's written to where you don't have to read a full chapter at a time. It's quite good, and again, thanks to George Winship, it really is something that I'm very, very proud of.
Jim, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading. Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is American Patrol by Glenn Miller, a very famous World War II song, still popular today. I love listening to Glenn Miller. My mom worked for the Navy during World War II. My dad was a gunner's mate on a Liberty ship, the SS President Adams, who was all of the different islands during the war. And one of the rifles that he brought back from the war was a rifle from Iwo Jima. It was a M1 carbine that was brought back. And he told the story as when he came back, he had had it on the ship, and he had traded a Marine for that rifle from some other things that he had gotten off one of the other islands. And he put that rifle under his pea coat, his heavy wool coat, and then threw a sea bag over the top of that, so it was kind of hidden underneath. And then my uncle, who was a builder first class Navy CB, he was in his uniform. They were there, and they came off the deck there with the officer of the watch. And as they did, they started to go ahead and salute and then stumbled down the gangway, and to the point where they were able to get past the officer of the day, and they didn't have to show the sea bag or any of the other stuff because there was a whole line of sailors getting ready to come off that ship. And so that's how that M1 carbine came home. That was the first rifle I ever learned to fire, was that M130 caliber carbine, and it was just a wonderful little firearm or rifle to learn on, and I never knew the history of it. He never told me the history until I was later in life. I learned to shoot it at about 9 years old, and it has no kick to it whatsoever. But once I learned the history, and then I learned about Iwo Jima, and then I learned about what took place and the sacrifice and the lives of 6,000-plus men who were either wounded or killed during that invasion, 4 to 6 days time frame, and how important it was. That M1 carbine is a key piece to the Northern California Veterans Museum. It is a piece of American history. It's a piece that represents the lives that were lost, but it also represents the lives and the liberty that were saved. And so that's why these items are so important. I mean, the items that my father brought back are different large brass shells that were fired off of the ships, and Japanese bayonets, and Arisaka rifle, and a samurai sword, the different things that he traded with the Marines and brought back from that time frame, were the items that I grew up with. Those were things that I looked at and touched and worked with almost daily sometimes in my life, because it had meaning, it had clarity. And because my father didn't talk about his World War II service, those things were the representation of my father's World War II service. That was the reality of where my father had been and where he had served. And like I said, my father didn't talk about a lot about it, but my mother told me different stories about my father and other sailors and things during that time frame. And my grandfather also, my mother's father, was a World War I veteran and survived a submarine sinking on the SS Tuscania. We'll talk about that at another time. But one man out of 300-plus souls, out of 1,200 souls that were on that SS Tuscania that were lost, and only 300 survived, and one of those was my World War I grandfather. And so you stop and you ask yourself, destiny how certain people survive and live through certain things, and then the next generation carries on, the next generation carries on. If my grandfather had been lost, we wouldn't be here today talking about what we're doing and honoring our veterans with the Northern California Veterans Museum. Jim, thank you again for being here this morning. One of the displays that we have in our offices there is a large board with 52 patches on that that was donated by the Cuttlefish Organization. Can you talk about those 52 patches?
Well, yeah, but first I'd like to go back to Iwo Jima. One of our, now passed on, but one of our associate members, Paul Berry, went in on the first wave to Iwo Jima. The boat stopped early, so these Marines with all this gear had to get off the boat, and some of them drowned. Paul was hit with a rifle and broke a couple of ribs, went on in, kept fighting, and next thing he was on, he had a rifle take out one of his fingers and wounded, still going. Now he's driving a bulldozer and goes over a landmine, and to the day he died, he hurt from that crushing his back and so forth. But those were people that didn't ask for anything, just kept going forward. And like Rob says, we should honor them in every way. As I say, my father was World War One. Here is Paul Berry, was an associate member of the Submariners. And Iwo Jima and World War II. And coming up through World War II was just an interesting time. Everything was patriotic. We were rationed with sugar, with rubber. You couldn't get new tires for your car because of the rubber being in short supply. And tin cans, we saved that and turned them in, and they went back to be melted down and so forth. But it was absolutely United States go forward type of attitude then, and it stayed on. But now, as Rob said, we're seeing things that are two different things. We're seeing people that want this country to go forward and people that seem to want not, and we're seeing some in the services also. But I would like to go back a little bit to the submarine. When I went to the submarine school, absolutely select, and they were very, very observant of you and your duties and so forth. There was no shore patrol report. If you had one of those, you were out. If you failed in one of the subjects, you were out. Then we went to the submarine, and with World War II guys, they were very insistent that you qualified in every system, every valve. And so if you were in a compartment by yourself and something happened, you could take care of securing that compartment. And they held to that all the way up, and I went through that, and as they call it, qualified. And it was a ritual, and no one wore those set of dolphins that showed you were a submariner until you were qualified, or you might have a problem when you went over to have a beer. People would take absolute umbrage that you were wearing them and you didn't rate them. Then, after that, I was fortunate enough to be selected, as Rob said, LDO. I went on the USS Pomfret, and thanks to some good officers, qualified again as an officer, again, not only having to know the submarine, but be able to write on different things such as tactics and so forth. I went on, and again, I hope this is not coming off as bragging, but it's a fact that I qualified for command of a submarine and went on through deep sea diving school, which is a thrill in its own. The six month school in Washington D.C. and got through with that and went to the command of Kukol that we talked about before.
I would not call it bragging for you to say that you earned your surface warfare and your submarine dolphins and that you qualified as a certified skipper and also with your dive qualifications. I was fortunate in my career to earn my combat warfare, CB combat warfare designation, and also my Fleet Marine Force designation, which you can only earn with the Marine Corps if you were in a combat situation, if you were forward located with the Marine Corps in a combat situation. And I value my Fleet Marine Force combat badge more than I do my Navy badge, because serving with the Marine Corps and being able to qualify with the Marines as a Marine and also as a CB was probably one of the greatest opportunities I ever had. And I earned it in Fallujah, Iraq, with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. And so being with the Marines and then being able to earn that qual, the whole idea behind the qual is, like the commander said, if you are in a situation where it's not your normal, you're not in a normal workstation or not your normal position, and something happens, that you can step up because you are a subject matter expert and you can fulfill the need of whatever that battle station is or whatever takes place. And it's the same thing with the CBs and being out with the Marine Corps. You're outside the wire, your squad leader goes down, your platoon leader, you step up. Doesn't matter if you're an E1 or you're an E5, enlisted 5, a second class petty officer, third class, or whatever else. If you're an E2 and you know what school qualifications are and your leadership goes down, you can step up and you can continue to lead the men that are around you, and you continue to take over. Because otherwise, once again, it's the deer in the headlights, just like you talked about earlier. And one of the things that we learned is you train as you fight and you fight as you train. There is no difference. You don't train differently than how it is when you're there. And here's a good example. During Desert Storm, they had gotten away from that in the late 80s and the early 90s. And personnel out in the field, their rifles would jam with the sand. And instead of knowing how to clear their rifles or their weapons, they would raise their hand for somebody to come and help them, because that was the only way they were trained to get the information to take care of. They were never trained how to be self-sufficient in maintaining their weapons and being able to fix it and clear it themselves. And so that tells you how important the training is. You fight like you train, and you train like you fight, so it's second nature. We're coming up on our time. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In April, we're covering crimes you can commit against and as authors. It's about how you as an author interact with your audience. And coming up in May, we're discussing how to design the perfect character.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book, now is the time to check us out. Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Die, die. Take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine. Left the wife and the kids behind. Most other people say I've lost my mind. Can't see the sun and I can't see the sky, but it's my life and I don't know why. So take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine. The silver dolphins that I proudly wear remind me that I'm among the few who care. Out on patrol and loaded for bear, and when it comes my time, well, I've done my share. Take her deep and take her down, where no other human being can be found. Below the surface where it's dark and green, down to the sea in a big black submarine.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. That song was written by Tommy Cox, who is a former Navy chief, submarine chief. And so great opportunity for us to play that in honor of all of our submarine veterans. And our guest this morning again is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. We are your talk radio, and our talk this morning is with one of our local heroes. Jim, let's talk a little bit about some of your training that you did and some of your dive school and some of the things that were so important during your quals.
Well, the biggest thing of getting through deep sea diving school, I went in it at an ancient age of 39, and it was a tough school. We start in the morning when runs a mile, and we would do exercises, and then started 10 hour work on learning how to use the different diving apparatus. And this was I made it through with the goal of getting a command of the submarine rescue ship. And Rob, before you ask about the title of the book, Yielding the Coup Call. Well, in that year in 1969, the coup call was over in Western Pacific, under the former, the skipper I relieved. And it was in such shape that they talked about towing it back. And we got, and they went through the yard, as I said. The skipper was an engineer. They did a good job there, but the morale was terrible. People just didn't have the spirit and so forth. And that's when I took over with the wonderful, fine, he's gone now, but the executive officer, one of the finest officers I ever served with. And I'd had training by some of the fine officers back when I was learning to how to command a submarine and so forth. But when we get on there, and people just didn't respond, and the former skipper would tell them something in the morning and then go up to the officers' club and come back in the afternoon and change it. So what we did, we just started working towards one of the big things we did. It was around Christmas, so they came and asked if they could decorate the ship, and I came in the next morning, and there was a Santa Claus trying to climb down the stack of the ship, and it went on, but we did win the best decorated ship in that for Christmas. And we just kept coming up and up. If we told the officers they had to do their job, if they messed up, we'd back them up and help them in any way we could. And it went from that to where we were given the Battle Efficiency E. We were, I got the Meritorious Service Medal. The ship got the Meritorious Unit Commendation, and we went to Western Pacific and had tremendous success there. And this was not only because of what we said, but we had people on board that would respond. We had a thing called fast cruise. We would, day before we were getting underway, we would go to our underway stations and train on that. And you'd be surprised how many things we'd find that if we had not done that, would have not worked when we needed them to. So things like that. That was the gilding, making gold of the ship.
Sir, and if you don't know what gilding is taking something that's precious to you and gilding it or coating it or covering it with gold to make it a valuable piece. So it doesn't just have an intrinsic value to it. It also has a gold value or a monetary value to it. So gilding the kukul. And the kukul is a type of bird. It's a jungle bird.
That's right. It's an African bird.
And so people go, what's a kukul? Well, the kukul is it's a type of bird. It has beautiful feathers on it. It's very it's part of the cuckoo family, right?
Well, yeah.
Cockatiels and things like that.
But all the submarine rescue ships, the Florican, the Chanticleer, the kukul, were named for birds. And the kukul was in World War II. It acted as a small submarine tender. They could come by and get help and get stores and so forth. And when I had it, we went into Hong Kong 5 different times so the nuclear submarines could go in there and have a Liberty port. And Hong Kong was a sort of a prize for the doing good. And we went in 5 different times and stood by when different submarines, nuclear submarines, would come in. They would tie up alongside us if they had a problem, which they never did. But we could take them to sea, and that would people of Hong Kong felt that they were safe. And of course, back then, people worried about nuclear power especially from World War II and Hiroshima and so forth. So that was a function. And every one of those submarines that came alongside had nice things to say to higher authority about how we worked with them. And we acted as a submarine tender.
Submarine tender and customer service. There's all different types of customer service. And the leadership starts at the top, Commander. And that's one of the things that we found 23 years in the Navy Seabees, when we had a skipper that was in there that cared about the men, actually listened to you when he had an issue, and there was communication, as you said, up and down the chain of command. That was a major morale builder, because you knew that if you had a concern, that you could go and either talk to your squad leader, which would be, well, we call them squad leaders in the Seabees, but it'd be your platoon leader or your duty section in the Navy, your division section, your chief, your first class petty officer, and from there it would go up the chain of command or come back down. And a good attitude with a good command listens to what their men say, and then there's actually some form of change or some form of increase in training or whatever else, because if the men are not secure, if they don't have a good morale, they will not follow the commanding officer. They will not follow the chief. They will do a half-duty job, and that's where safety issues comes in, and that's where your performance comes in. So Jim, obviously, gilding the kukul and being able to have the Battle E, which is excellence, battle excellence in your ship or your duty station, that's exemplary. So that shows your skill there.
This is all told in this book, Gilding the Kukol. There's a lot of fun things in it that we did. One thing, our ship made is underway speed. The most economical speed was 9 knots, which is about 10.5 miles per hour, which doesn't sound much fast in land, but it was a good steady speed. But it also was the right speed to troll for the western dolphin called the mahi-mahi. And so when we got on there, and all of us liked to fish, and I was the leader of that because I really loved to fish. So we would go every place with three poles hanging off the back, trolling, and we'd catch a big, up to 40-pound mahi-mahi. And the fantail, the back of the ship, would go call to the bridge, fish on, and if they were safe, they would stop. We'd land the fish and enjoy that. There was always a pot of stew on the back on there, on the back part of the fantail of the ship. And we ended up in Japan. We donated almost 1,100 pounds of fish to an orphanage there, and we got the little kids down, and that was fun to see. They would have a drumstick from a turkey leg on one hand and an ice cream cone in the other, these little Japanese orphans, and that was a wonderful part, too.
Wow, what a great experience to be able to do that also. But I'll tell you, fresh food, anytime you're in the military, you get a chance to eat fresh food. That talk about armies and the sailors move on their stomachs. And so when you've got a crew member and they've got a stomach full of good food, they've got a good attitude, and they're ready to do their job to the best of their ability because they know that you're taking care of them. So some of the basic, smallest needs are the most biggest morale boosters. Amen. And an attitude that goes with that is what helps promote a good crew, a good team, and a good working organization.
Well, lastly, the book, Gilding the Kukol, is for sale, and if you want it, I think you'd really enjoy it. It's my phone, again, 245-4492, and I'll see if you get one. We do have to charge for them, but that'll be known then.
That'll be great. We'll also have those at the museum, at the offices, if someone wants to come by and get those. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the Breakfast Combo Family Meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the Chicken Fried Steak Family Meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Reading Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Don't be left watching Netflix reruns this summer. Use your screen time to future-proof your career with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. One of the best investments you can make is your education. So take the first step today. Summer classes start June 8th and enrollment is happening now. High school students, summer is the perfect time to pick up some college credits. With no tuition costs and enrollment is now completely online, call 242-7500 or go online to shastacollege.edu/apply.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Way back in the Cold War when the going got tough, we played a little game and called it Blind Man's Bluff. The U.S. and the Russians kept the action unseen. We played this game of chicken with our submarines. We sneak up on each other, steal the secret stuff. Muddied up the waters, called it Blind Man's Bluff. We're young and patriotic, and devil may care. The good guys and the bad guys made a deadly pair. We shadowed each other with antennas for ears. We were just a high-tech buccaneers. We could get the booty from the Soviet bear and bring it all together with a wing and a prayer. Blind Man's Bluff is not a childish game. Blind Man's Bluff can bring you fame or shame. A little bluff here or a little bluff there. Blind Man's Bluff could be a sailor's prayer.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows. I'm your host this morning, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum. Listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. Our guest this morning again is Lieutenant Commander James Gibson, United States Navy retired. Jim, good morning, and thank you again for being here. We've got about 12 minutes left. Just tell us what you want us to know about your book and your family and your home and your career.
Well, before I talk about that, I want to tell you that any good man in the service or out functions with a wonderful wife and someone who supports you in whatever you do. And I was fortunate, and Mary Lou's mentioned quite a bit in the book, but my wife, Mary Lou, of now 68 years.
Congratulations.
She stood by me, helped me. She was with me 22 years in the Navy. 11 of that I was away from home. She raised two fine sons that we are so proud of, and one from here, it's already retired from, boy, that's hard to believe, already retired from Caltrans, another son that's up in Washington and manages a couple of restaurants, and just has done a banner job for me, and she deserves a majority of the credit that's ever in that book because of what she allowed me to do and not have to worry about the home front and so forth. And I just can't say enough about her. Speaking of the schools and so forth that it talks about in there in the book is Engelman School, where they took myself off, a kid off the farm, and taught him how to overhaul massive diesel submarine engines, like not unlike the ones that are in these trains that we hear going by now and then. And I went to that school. Nuclear power school was interesting. Our teachers, our instructors, were just learned people from like Case Institute, MIT, and so forth. To give you that. We're sitting there the first morning in math class, and the instructor come in, and very, very dedicated, he wrote on the board, a 2. And then underneath that, he wrote another two. He drew the line, and he put a plus sign on there, and he turned around and said, all right, gentlemen, and we'd never been called gentlemen in our lives, but now, gentlemen, would somebody give me the solution to that problem on the board? And, of course, some wise guy said four, and he said, that's wonderful. Now we're going to go into algebra.
Just at the very beginning.
Yeah. Anyway, that went through nuclear power and worked for Admiral Rickover, and a lot of interesting stories about him. And he was a very dedicated man, but he had no time for nonsense or anything but dedication. And he was, of course, known as the father of the submarine Navy.
And the nuclear power.
Oh, yeah.
The father of the nuclear power in the Navy.
Yeah, that's it. He put... Thanks to him, we had the Nautilus, which was the first reactor inside a submarine and went to sea. And the Nautilus was very famous up over the ice, up under the ice in the Arctic and across the pole and so forth. So thanks to Rickover, we had that. I worked directly for him for about a year, and that is a thrill in itself when you're being called a dumb, certain, your parents were not married type of guy. So, hey, if you can read into that, he didn't put up with any nonsense and loved working with him. All this is in the book and some cute things that went on for me while I was writing the book.
The name of the book is Gilding the Kukol. It is the memoirs and the story of Lieutenant Commander James Gibson's naval career, and it talks about everything from when he was a young boy to all the way till his retirement and service in our community here in Northern California. It's just a wonderful opportunity. If you would like a good book from a local man that will sign your book for you, that has served our country faithfully over the years, continues to serve our country, it's just a wonderful opportunity. Jim, what is the cost of your book, and where can they can get the book? At the museum office, we'll have some there also.
We'll have some,
and they can contact you also with your phone number.
Right, the book, because I had to self-publish it, is $25. And as Rob said, there'll be several for sale at the museum office at 2110 North Street in Anderson. And my phone number is 245-4492. And I'd be more than glad to meet with you or some way to get the book to you, because I believe, in all honesty, in this day of knowing what veterans do, you would enjoy it.
Well, and we're going to have some of those books at our event. The next event for the Northern California Veterans Museum, our annual fundraiser, our big event is going to be April 4th. Great. And that will be Saturday evening at the Veterans Event Center, the VFW Hall there in Anderson. We'll probably have about 200, 250 guests that'll be there. And Jim's book will be there as part of, he'll sign them for you. We'll auction a couple of them off that'll be there as part of our evening. And you're just not going to find a better opportunity to get a wonderful book by a wonderful man who served our nation faithfully and meet him face to face, shake his hand, talk to him, and be able to know one of our American heroes. It's right here in our community. Jim, we've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to close with?
No, nothing other than to support you in this wonderful, wonderful project of the Northern California Veterans Museum. And Rob has done a wonderful job along with the board and so forth working towards it. And lastly, what I would like to also say, if you haven't seen and haven't been out to IGO and see the Northern California Veterans Cemetery, it's one of them. They're calling it now Arlington West.
Arlington West.
Because it is beautiful. The people out there are so dedicated, and the fun time to see it is when you're down at the office and you look out and you see the flags and the headstones and you see the snow on the mountains. And as you come out of the cemetery, on the right is a Korean War memorial. And with the snow in the mountains, if you look directly across that memorial, up towards the mountains, it looks exactly like North Korea. It's very, very moving if you had anything to do with the Korean War. The veteran, it's open 7 days a week from 8 to 5. There's staff there on Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. It'll help you. Any veteran that has 1 day of active duty can put in his papers and get permission and be buried out there along with the other 4,600 fallen heroes.
From 2007 to 2013, I was the Northern California Honor Guard team leader for the United States Navy. And during that time frame, we laid to rest many, many World War II veterans during that time frame. From 2007 to 2013, I presented personally over 2,000 folded flags to family members across all of our Northern California area, but also there at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And at times we would do upwards of 6 funerals, World War II funerals and Korean War funerals, during that time range, laying our honored heroes to rest here in our Northern California area. If you have not been there, it is a place to go to, excuse me, whether you go at Veterans Day or you go at Memorial Day or you take a Sunday afternoon and you drive up there and you walk headstone by headstone, row upon row, and you read the names of the men and women who served our country, and you see World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Panama, Desert Storm, Iraqi Freedom. They are all there, men who served in all branches of service. We have so many that are there that we did for the Merchant Marines who never get talked about, who served our country faithfully. If you didn't know, at the beginning of the war of World War II, we lost more Merchant Marines than we lost during the Navy of civilian ships that were lost at sea due to the Nazis outside of our harbors in the Atlantic Ocean. And so these men and women are laid to rest there, and it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to honor our veterans again here in our community. Jim, we've got about 1 minute left. Anything else you'd like to add to our morning?
I just would like to thank you for this opportunity of being here. And, again, when you see a veteran, just to thank him for his service, because at some point in life he sacrificed for what we now have as a wonderful country.
That's right. We do have a wonderful country, and we need to continue to talk about that. And as this last song talked about the Cold War during that time frame and fighting the communism with the Russians, probably one of our next programs, we're going to talk about the difference between communism and socialism and the freedom that we have right now, what's going on out there in the political society. And I think it's so important for us to remember, not too long ago, we were fighting communism and socialism across our entire world, and we don't want it here at home.
Well, there's one last thing. If you want to know what the submarines did during the Cold War, they played a song here for it, Blind Man's Bluff, written by a lady, but it tells you a lot of things you shouldn't know. But anyway, it tells you what the submarine force did during the Cold War.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for being our guest.